All right, so welcome to my music class. And after my little introduction here, they're going to help me do a few demonstrations for you of things that we do in our music class. And then I plan to give maybe a few more tips or ideas that you can use for classes. And lastly, if you have any questions or comments, I'll try to give a few minutes at the end for those. So I'll try not to take all the time this morning. So I have taught music here. Well, I taught for 3 years, and then when I quit teaching, it was my now sister-in-law was taking over my classroom, fourth and fifth grade, and she was like, would you please come teach music? So I did. I started after that, so it's been 7 years of teaching music. And I will say that I do not feel like I have everything figured out. I have learned, I've figured out what has come back to kind of shoot me in the foot, and I've figured out a few things that have worked for us. So hopefully we can learn a few things together today and be inspired to take music to people of all ages. It's not just for little people. All right. Natalie, you can come up here. Did the other two find you?
Huh?
Did the other two find you? No? Now we're going to have to go find them. All right. So at the beginning of the school year, I usually let my students know what I expect of them. But since I am only the music teacher, I have the privilege of teaching my class and sending them back to their classroom. So it's a little bit different when you are the teacher trying to teach music to them. So I often set up a few rules for them and explain a few things about music. Like, why do we sing? We sing to glorify God. And the more we learn about music, the more, the better we can sing, which in return helps us to glorify God. So, and also everyone has a gift. For some people it's music, for some people it is not. Some students say they hate music because they would rather be hunting or drawing or anything but do music. So I've had to explain to them that it's the same as doing their math, their English, their science, their, you have your favorite subjects and you have your subjects that you don't like as well. And even if it's not our favorite thing to do, we still have to do it as well as we can so that we can glorify God. Also, music class, singing is a privilege, and so if they don't want to behave up here, like I said, I have the advantage of being able to send them back to their teacher if they absolutely won't listen. But usually we have a bench or chair set up here and a table in the back where we sometimes do some work. And so usually, you know, just a couple minutes off by themselves, you know, maybe with their heads down is usually, it's all they need. So I'm kind of curious, what music do you use in your schools? It seems like everyone has kind of a different system. Or don't you use music class or books? With glad voices?
Yes.
Okay.
I have never used it very much. The second grade teacher mostly used it. But yeah, I'm pretty excited to see that you're using that so I can get some tips.
Which, and I just use the first book and then I go on. Do a lot of you use CLE? That seems like it's a fairly common. Curriculum in our schools. which is good. They have a lot of good things in them, but it's all about head knowledge and nothing about hands-on doing stuff. And when I was a teacher, teaching my fourth and fifth grade, as much as I loved music and singing, I hated music class. I hated it. It was so frustrating to me to try to fit in the math and the reading and the language, and then, oh, we have to do music. Well, they're not done with their math. I don't feel like doing music today. And so the system that we have here, it doesn't matter if they're done with their work or not. They have to come up to my class. So I'm spoiled. So I did, when my now sister-in-law had asked me to teach music that year, I went to the Shenandoah Christian Music Camp in Virginia, and I took the music classes there and heard about this Kodai method, which... This is actually the book that they give you to go off of for their classes. It has a lot of good things in it. If you don't know anything about the Kodai method, it's a little bit intimidating because it's a huge, I mean, it has so many ideas, and it's a little bit confusing if you don't know anything about the method. So I decided to go with this with Glad Voices. It's compiled by Fern Ebersole, and she does use the Kodai method. She kind of did her own system with it. So I do that for first and second grade, and then at the beginning of third grade, I actually switched them into CLE, because what was happening was I was teaching music class, and I was using that and then kind of making my own classes, but then they were going into, say, sixth grade, and they hadn't done the CLE books. That was what shot me in the foot. And then they didn't know everything that was in those books that they should have. So that is why I have chosen to switch them into CLE books in the third grade, but still try to implement some of the things that they learned from this book, and also just do a few other things that makes it a little bit more fun and hands-on for them. Another... Another thing, it is actually pretty easy for them to jump into the CLE books in, say, second or third grade if you go ahead and do a fair amount of review as you're jumping into that book, because they pretty much start at the basics. The first lesson in the third grade book is, I think, I should look again, but I think it's about the notes, like the shapes. This book here, one thing that I like about it, the With Glad Voices, is that in our Mennonite churches, at least I was taught very little about round notes. So I kind of learned music, but it was always with shaped notes. And I went on a singing tour when I was 20. And everything was round notes, and I panicked. And I went through and frantically changed them all to shaped notes. And so that's one thing that I like about this, is that it actually introduces the idea of round notes first before you throw it. They know nothing about the shapes until third grade. Anyway, where was I going with that? I'm kind of following my notes and kind of not here. So kind of my goal with music class is to make music fun for them, to make it something that they enjoy, so that they can, even if they don't learn everything that maybe they should in class, that hopefully they can go from my classes enjoying music enough that they go search out more for themselves, like I had to do. So we're going to do a few things that we do in our music class for you. And a lot of the songs in here are just catchy little songs that only have two or three notes in it, so it's really easy for them to, you know, pick up the tune right away or whatever. But you can use your own songs if you want to. And ideas. So All right, so we're going to go ahead and do a few things. There's not a clock in here, so. All right. Why don't you three bring your chairs, like, right up here, like we usually do for me in the class? Can you go around the table? Can you go around the table, please? All right, and this is something we did last year, so it shouldn't be scary. Our wonderful hearts. I will say, there are a few things about this, the With Glad Voices, that is really neat. One of them is these little hearts. They call them the heartbeats. So it is for every beat of a song. And it is, you compare it to your heart. You know, your heart sometimes goes faster, sometimes it goes slower, but it's always consistent, we hope. So, they compare it to a heart. This is for the beats. And then what they use is a lot of, they use a ta for a quarter note and a ta di for 2/8 notes that are hooked together. And that is how they first learn them. They don't actually know yet that the tas are quarter notes. They don't know really what quarter notes are. When I explained that to them in third grade, it's like this light bulb goes on, and they're like, oh, that's what we were doing this whole time. It makes total sense to them then. All right. So, and often the way they start out with the song, they have them clap the beat. You can have them clap the rhythm. We're going to clap the beat. And then we are going to... I'm going to have them actually put this song up on the board with their tas and their toddies, the quarter notes and their 2/8 notes put together. So we're going to do that for you. And if you have any questions about it, feel free to raise your hand and ask questions. So, all right. Hopefully I can sing. Kind of had a cough lately. All right. We're going to sing the pitter-patter song. All right? All right, so let's clap the beat. Ready? Do you hear the pitter-patter, raindrops falling down? Do you think they're bringing drink for flowers in the ground? All right, good. This poor whiteboard needs to be cleaned. All right, so we're going to do the first part of the song right now, okay? It does work. All right. I'm going to let you go first. So we have, do you hear the pitter-patter? Can you put the first tar toddy up for me? It's been kind of a long time since we've done music class, hasn't it? Do you hear the pitter patter? That's this part. What words are we saying for this?
Do you?
Oh. Good. Hear the pitter patter. Good. All right. So let's sing this part. Make sure we got this part right before we go on. So we have, do you hear the pitter-patter? Is that right? Good job. All right. So we have, raindrops falling down. Learned about this, but we're going to do it a little bit different because they don't know we've learned it. Okay. So we have raindrops falling down. Okay. And it's quiet here. Okay. So I often, when I'm teaching them about rest, I will draw a little man sleeping on a bed with Z's going up. And they actually use a regular Z. The one for a quarter rest is a backwards Z, or that fancy one that everyone hates to draw. So we use Z's, and then once they're, I usually by this time they draw them the right way. Okay. So you teach them that you're resting, and even if you say your rhythm here, you always say rest. It's quiet. You're resting. You don't use your talking voice. All right. Can you put a rest for us? Good job. All right. So let's just show them how we do that. Let's say these tas and toddies for them. Are you ready? Say it loud so they can hear. All right, ready?
Toddy, 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 ta, rest.
Good. All right. So this song, are we finished with it? Did we sing the whole song? Did we sing the whole song? No? No? All right. So we're going to see if we can use these same tas and toddies for the last part of the song. If not, we might have to put a lot more hearts. If we do, we can make a little sign down here so that we can just use the same ones again, okay? So let's sing it, see if we can.
Do you hear the pitter-patter, raindrops falling down? Do you think they're bringing drink for flowers in the ground?
All right, so it is the same. So we can put what we call a repeat sign. Do you remember how to write a repeat sign? Something that comes before the skinny thing. Just be one line. All right, so we have a repeat sign here. So we can use these same tas and toddies again. And once again, the toddies are 2/8 notes put together, and the tas are quarter notes. When I show that to them in a songbook, I was like, I just grab a, say, a church hymnal or something that we use at church, and I show them where there's 2/8 notes that are hooked together and a quarter note, and it makes sense to them, but it's usually once they're in third grade. All right, so also what we're going to do on this song is we have a repeat sign, but then once we sing it twice, we're at the end of the song. So we need to put something else at the end so that we know that we have to stop then, so we don't just keep going and going, right? Do you remember what to put? All right. And one of my boys explained it to me this way. He said, you're singing a song, and there's a skinny guy here, and he can't quite end the song. So you have to stick a fat guy here, and it stops it. They don't forget it either. They're like, is it the skinny guy and the fat guy? So that's a good visual for them. All Okay. Also, with these songs, we often teach them about the accent beats. So we have, in this song here, it's like, do you hear the pitter-patter, raindrops falling down? Okay, and if you kind of have to overemphasize it for them to actually hear it. But you want them to actually do that so that they get in their minds that that is actually what they're doing. And if they're not quite sure which one to do to make their little accent mark underneath, you can sing it for them again. It's, do you hear the pitter-patter? Or you can say, is it, do you hear the pitter-patter? And they very quickly catch on that, no, it's not, do you hear that? That just sounds ridiculous, you know. So, do you remember how to do accent beats, accent marks? All right, why don't you do the first one for us, okay? Is it, do you hear the pitter-patter? Or is it, do you hear the pitter-patter? Which one is it? This one? Do you hear the... That one louder? Mm-hmm. There you go. This one's kind of a harder song to do the accent beats on, isn't it? Because there's so many of them. So many notes. All right, and then it also teaches them that once they do these accent beats, wherever there is another accent beat, that is the beginning of a new group. So, and your groups are your measures. So then you also teach them about your measure bars. It's your turn, isn't it? Do you remember where the first measure bar goes? Remember, we can't put any at the beginning, so. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Here.
Yeah, because here's this one. It starts a new one. Good job. There you go. Perfect. So this is our little song with our measure bars. We're also going to show them this. So the bottom number is the kind of beat. So we're going to put this here for all the beats. And the top number is how many, what? Do you remember?
Two.
It's two, but what is two? It's how many what? Do you remember what it is?
Two beats.
Two beats between each one of these in each measure, okay? Go ahead and write your two. Okay? So it teaches them in first and second grade already that the top number in a song is how many beats is in a measure. It doesn't actually teach them what the bottom number is, but we learn that later. So, another thing they sometimes have you do is just so that they get in their minds about which, and since they work so much with beats in this book, I have seen my little students tapping the beat in church. They hear it. It's in them after a while, which is really fun. I mean, some of them don't really know how to beat the time, but I've seen them tapping it. And that is one of the coolest things for me, is to sit in church and actually see that they got it, you know? All right, so another thing that they'll sometimes have them do is just practice hearing the different things, like the tas and the toddies. So I have a special set of tas and toddies for right now. And if you hear it, why don't you stand up? If you hear it, I want you to jump. But if it's different, then you have to do it back to me. Okay? All right, so this is the special one. Got it? Should I do it one more time for you? Do it with me. All right, that's it. All right, here's the first one. You're not jumping. So what are you supposed to do? Is it the same?
No.
All right, so you do it back to me. Do you remember it? Can you do it? All right, let's do it again. There you go. All right. Next one. There you go. Good. All right. How about this one? Good job. Good job. All right, you can sit down. So as you see, it kind of shows them the difference between the tas and toddies, and it kind of just makes them get it in their minds so that they very quickly learn what quarter notes and 2/8 notes are. All right. We will do it over here. Another thing that it teaches at the end of the book is, which on your one paper, that other paper that I gave you, I think it's on the back, the one that looks like this. In here, it talks about when low do is on a line, where mi and so are, where our high do is. They actually start getting into that at the end of this book here. So I'm going to, we're going to do a little bit of that. It starts them out with just 3 lines instead of 5, just so that they kind of get the feel of it first. So I'm going to put a so. Where does mi go? You remember where mi goes?
In the middle.
In the middle? Well, it depends where this is. All right, so I'm going to put so right here. Now, does anyone know where mi goes? Do you remember?
In the other line.
All right. So when so is on a space, mi is on the space below it. If so is on a line, mi is on the line below it. Okay? All right. And then what about la? Where does la go? Do you remember where la goes?
On the line.
Which one?
On the line above so.
That's right. And la goes on the line above so. All right. So this is how it teaches them, first of all, to do so, mi, and la. Those are some of the more important notes. They actually teach so and mi first, and I believe la is next, and then it is low do. They actually in this book do not even touch re and ti. No, I'm sorry, they do re. It's fa and ti. I think re is after lo do, and then it's high do in there somewhere maybe. So it kind of depends. I often, for the second graders, will introduce them to the fa's and the ti's because they are actually important parts of our music. All right. Okay, that is so. You can put me and la in that order. Do me first and then la. Can you do that? So is on a line. Good job. Mia is on the line below. And Law is... If we go. So... Okay, good. My poor voice. So, mi, la. Remember, la is higher than so. Okay? Oops. I'm going to put this one. Do me first. Okay? So is on the space. Mi is on the space below. And where does la go? Good job. All right. That is so. Good job. All right. So we practice with these, and then I also stick the low do in there and the high do, and as we keep going, I add more notes in there. Kind of gives them a visual. Another thing that this book teaches, I scribbled up hand signs. They do these hand signs. It's do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. We do that some. The one that I like actually better is they start with do on your knees. This is do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, and do. And that is what we use a lot because it actually shows them so, mi, so, la, so, mi. So it shows them that, you know, la is higher than mi. It gives them an actual visual for what they're doing. And I use that with, I really like that, especially for the younger ones, till they get that in their minds. Which, and another thing that this system uses. They have cards like this that have the tas and the toddies and the rests on them that you can use for practice. Another thing that they have is these. It's fine with a couple toddies. So they have the tas and the toddies, but they also have notes underneath them that they have to sing to you, or you sing together, or you, whatever. You can do all sorts of things with them. These are very helpful for teaching them to even just hear the so's, me's, laws in their minds, you know, to jump from so to me. So I really like those. Okay. So we're slightly running out of time here. I'm going to quickly run over a few things that I use some. These also come with Glad Voices. This is to help them think in their brains. You turn it to stop and you want them to keep singing in their minds. Go, they have to start singing again where they left off in their minds. It's good. There's a beat and a rhythm, soft and loud, slow and fast, low and high. This Echo and Sullivan I didn't use tons, but they're kind of good for, you know, you teach them that not all songs are loud, not all songs are fast. It can depend, and it will give you examples sometimes, like, okay, you sing a song with them, what do you think this song should be? Should it be loud? Should it be soft? Should it be fast? Should it be slow? Another thing that I use once I teach them about the shape notes, I went to Dollar Tree, my friend. They had these, which aren't exactly round, but they work for so's. These they also had for the laws, and then I just got some foam for the rest of them and just kind of made my own, my funny rays, and just chopped out my own. I use them for flashcards. I use them, I have string here. We put these out on the floor. You can have 5 lines of string. You can have them do this on the floor. That's what I often do. These don't have magnets on like the hearts do. And so I often do these on the floor with them. Once you teach them the shapes, you can use these. Have them do that instead. I also did cut some straws, some that were straight and some that have the flag, the bendy part of the straw. And I use that for the flag. I chopped some other little pieces of straws to stick in for like a 16th note. And can have them do that on the floor as well. So I used the hearts a lot and the round notes that I showed you. Toothpicks, I often will have them use those in class to do the tas and toddies, these things on the floor. They can use them to make these, to make measure bars, pretty much everything. I do use, not sure where they went, especially for first grade. They have you do a lot of solos with them. It's a little terrifying for first graders to sing solos. Give them a little finger puppet. I name them. This is Carrie the cat, I think. So I have four of them, and they take turns with them. I had one little boy that was, this was years ago, so you guys don't know who it is. that he was the last one to sing in the class, and he refused. He would not. And I said, we're not going to go on until you sing. We probably sat there for 10 or 15 minutes. It was my will against his. And he would not sing. Finally, it was lunchtime for them, so I actually took him off. Then his teacher said I could. And he was scared. He didn't want to. He was embarrassed. He didn't want to sing in front of him. He didn't want to be the last one. He didn't want everybody staring at him. And I told him. I explained to him about how, you know, everyone has a gift. For some people, it's music. For some people, it's not. And that's okay. But you still have to do your best. And after that, like, he finally sang his little part to me. And I never had problems with him after that. And, you know, sometimes they just need a little extra love and attention. It's not all about music. Also, I sometimes use some small dry erase boards that I also got at Dollar Tree. You can use the markers on them to have them, they can draw the notes, they can draw different things. It's just kind of a good diversion from the books sometimes, and they still learn. I do use that whistle some. They can blow on it to make a beat while the rest of us sing. That's mostly what we use it for. Also, the stick, which these come with those books, but we use this also to tap out a beat. I use it for my pointer. Also, on the second page that I gave you, on the front, it shows you about the whole notes, half notes, quarter notes, and how there's two whole notes or two half notes and a whole note. There's two quarter notes and a half note. And actually, what I do for that is I use money. This is a whole note. How many half? This is a dollar. We're going to equal this to a whole note. So how many half dollars are in a dollar? There's two. There's two half notes in a whole note. How many quarters equal a dollar? There's four quarters in a dollar. They all know this from math class, so it's really, it sticks in their mind then. There's also four quarter notes in a whole note. And then with the eighth and 16th notes, I usually just use like a smaller coin. You can't really compare it, but once they get the hang of it, the eighth notes and the 16th notes are much easier. I usually use nickels, dimes, pennies, something for the eighth notes, and then I use little beads for the 16th notes. And I usually make a whole pyramid of it so that they can see. Two eighth notes equal a quarter note, but four eighth notes equal a half note, and eight eighth notes equal a whole note. They can see the whole pyramid of it, so it kind of makes a little bit more sense to them. So when I'm teaching them that page, that's what I go to is the money. It makes so much more sense. Thank you for everybody. All right, so I think I went over all my notes, probably plus some. If you guys have any questions or comments, also, I was going to maybe put my phone number at the bottom of this. These songs, I didn't know them. My mom knew music very well. Bless her heart. I would sit down and I'd learn these songs and I'd go, Mom, can you tell me if this is right? And she would tell me if I needed to change a note or whatever. I always aspired to be like her musically. I don't think I'm quite there, but I try. So if you guys want, if you guys have questions, if you want my phone number, I'd be happy to give it to you. I can send you little sound clips of the song if that helps. I can give you whatever. So, yeah. Is there any other questions or comments?
How closely do you need to stick to what the book says? Especially if, like, I taught the next level, and just to get it into my mind, her train of thought was kind of hard, and think of how to explain it to them.
That book was a lot harder for me, too. And then with the way our school was set up then, with this going into the CLE, I don't usually get through this in first grade because I have little classes with first grade, like 25 minutes. So I usually finish it the second year and I kind of do my own thing. So, because you have to find what works for you and what works for your students, what's going to help them learn. It's not going to be the same for everybody. I would say just find what works and go with that. Yes.
Could you do the do, like,
yes, absolutely. So do is your knees. And re is in the middle of your, in the middle here. Mi is at your hips. And fa, you just kind of cup your hands in front of your chest. It's different than the rest. The rest goes out like this. Okay, so fa is different. Keep the hands in and it's cupped. So is up on your shoulders. La is your ears. T is the top of your head. And then do, you just stick your hands straight up.
Thank you.
So, yes. All right.
How often do you do music class? When I taught, I did it like every day for 10 or 15 minutes.
And... See, and it's different because I was the music teacher. I only came in and did music. So I had one day... that I would squish my eight classes into because I had grades 1 to 8 this last year. So I did it Thursdays.
Once a week.
The CLE books, if I'm careful, we can get through. This takes me 2 years. Like I do it, I spread it out over first and second grade. And we usually get done a little bit fast with second grade. And so then I will kind of start putting them into some of the things that they're going to learn in the third grade book without actually like having them do the book, like teaching them about the shapes of the notes or, you know, doing more of this stuff with more of like all of the notes and stuff. So it's going to depend on what you have for how often and how much. But music is important, I think. It's just really hard to stick it in there when you're the teacher and you teach everything. It's hard to make music a priority. I know the struggle.
I was going to ask that. Do you recommend a music teacher coming in? Or do you
I do.
Do it?
I do. And I'm really struggling with that this year because we're expecting a baby in January. So I cannot do this next year, at least not the whole year. So I would love to find somebody that I could like kind of train in so they can take over. I haven't found anybody that wants the job yet, so... But I do recommend it. And the teachers, for the most part, I mean, as far as I know, they love it, the ones that I've worked with. Because they have, even if they have two grades, they have a half hour where their one grade is gone. They can focus on their other grade. They don't have as much of a workload for that day. I do it one grade at a time. I tried mixing grades, and that does not work. because you have to back up to get what the second graders don't know, to catch them up to the third grade, and then the third grade don't learn very much by the time you're done. So it doesn't work. If you can find someone to come in and do your music classes, that is awesome. And I love it. I'm kind of the grandma of school, you know? You kind of just have fun with them and send them back to their parents, you know? It's great.
Well, I will say, Virginia, that after we started doing this with the students in this community, the programs improved tremendously.
Thank you.
Well, just the thing of being able to focus on one thing.
Yes.
And you spend a lot more time with it. And
yes.
It
makes a huge difference. Makes a huge difference.
So you think that rhythm is like the most important, or one of the first things you teach?
Is what?
Rhythm would be the first thing you teach.
It is actually, or finding the beat is one of the first things that they do teach them, along with, you know, showing me the notes. And like I said, I mean, if you use CLE, that's perfectly fine. You can take that first grade CLE book. And you can do hands-on things like the foam shapes, and you can go from there and do hands-on things for them. So it's all about making it interesting so that they actually want your class, want to learn. I don't always feel like I do a wonderful job, but I try.
Do you do it more than once a week?
I don't. I just do it on Thursdays. If you're the teacher and you're teaching everything, you can do it as much as you want. That's one benefit. But then it also can tend to get shoved off. So that's how it was for me. Okay, any other questions? I think we're about 3 or 4 minutes over, but I don't want to cut anybody off either. So. Okay, well, thank you for coming to my class. And if you have any questions, I will probably be around here more this afternoon, this evening.